Now that we said goodbye to the year that saw the bizarre mass suicide of members of the group Heaven's Gate, our linguist Jeff Nunberg considers the origin and use of the word cult.
Not long ago, I gave expert testimony on behalf of a small religious group involved in a civil suit. They were submitting a motion to enjoin the other side from referring to them as a cult on the grounds that the word was prejudicial and subjective. It seemed a fair enough point to me. There are people who'll tell you that cults are a well-defined category, but it'd be hard to show it from the way we use the word. There are a few certifiably deranged groups that everybody calls cults, like Heaven's Gate or the People's Temple, but beyond that, it gets a little fuzzy. If you look on the web, you can find anti-cult sites that apply the word to everybody from Amway to Islam to the United Pentecostal Church. The press tends to be a little more selective than that, but there's a lot of subjectivity there as well. In the interest of science, I made up a cult quotient based on how frequently the press applies the word to a particular group. If you set the Presbyterians at 0 and the Heaven's Gate group at 100, then the Branch Davidians have a cult quotient of 96, the Scientologists are at 71, the Unification Church is at 62, and so on down to the Jehovah's Witnesses at 21 and the Masons and Amway tied at 2. This can all get pretty arbitrary. Take the Tibetan Buddhists. They have a cult quotient a lot lower than the Sufis, the Hindus, or even the Mormons. In fact, they're on a level with the Methodists. But all this means is that the Tibetan Buddhists are a politically respectable group whose American advocates are comfortably middle class. The one thing that surprised me was how recent this pejorative sense of the word turns out to be. The word cult itself didn't come into general usage until the 19th century, and even then it was just a slightly erudite label for a system of religious worship, particularly for ancient or exotic creeds like the cult of Aphrodite or the cult of Vishnu. Or you might use the word metaphorically to talk about an exaggerated devotion to some idea, as in the Wordsworth cult. But it wasn't until very recently that the word acquired the sense of spuriousness and social deviance that it has now. In fact, the earliest dictionary that I could find that includes that sense was published in 1961. It's odd we never had a special word with this meaning before then. After all, the history of American religious life is nothing but the account of one eccentric sect after another, from the Puritans to the Methodists to the Mormons to the charismatic and evangelical movements of our own century. And that's not to mention all those European secessions and schisms that fled to our shores so they could do their theological bickering undisturbed. It's true that most of these groups were nowhere near so weird as Heaven's Gate or the Jonestown Temple, but they clearly struck contemporaries as just as outlandish as the majority of the groups we now call cults. The 19th century mainstream press heaped just as much ridicule on Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy as its modern successors have heaped on L. Ron Hubbard and Sun Myung Moon. So where did we get this new idea of cults from? In a word, from the East, along with the Eastern language and religious doctrines that began to have an influence in the West around the middle of the 19th century. Charles Dickens and Wilkie Collins were among the first to exploit this theme with their fanciful tales of opium-smoking devotees of the Indian cult of Thuggee that the British had repressed in the 1830s. That connection gave us the word thug, not to mention a line of melodrama that stretches down directly to films like Help and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And there was all the muddled Orientalist mysticism of the Theosophists and the Spiritualists, people like Aleister Crowley and Madame Blavatsky, who wrote about various Eastern cults and helped to popularize the word. By the way, Madame B. also had a lot to do with introducing the word guru to the West. By the mid-20th century, it seemed natural enough to extend the word cult to refer to any small religious group that struck people as flaky, wherever it happened to originate. It all made for a reassuring account of where all those weird new religions were coming from. Calling them cults made them seem qualitatively different from all the old-style oddballs that grew up natively in our soil.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.